Good Monday morning, everyone. We've all survived Thanksgiving here in the States. Today is Cyber Monday, so make sure that you go and take advantage of all of those cyber deals. A lot of authors this day are offering a lot of cyber deals on their books, so make sure you go and also take advantage of those. But you guys listening to Author Talk with me, Amy Dina is in for Valerie today. Russell Little, we have Mark Leslie, and Ado Van Valkum is with us today. I hope I nailed that. Okay. I've been saying your phrase in my name, in my head, since you've told me that. So I'm glad that I could nail your name. Names are very important. So let's dive into the weekends. I usually kick off that segment. So I got back late last night. I went home to San Antonio to see both of our families for Thanksgiving, which was adventurous and fun. My uncle came into town with all of his children and their children. So it was a really big Thanksgiving at my parents' house this year, which was wonderful because we don't get to see them very often. And then besides that, Joshua and his family, it was a lot of gatherings and fun times. Josh and his brothers went camping later on Friday, which they love to do, and they did RV camping because it was really cold. So it's cold here, and I'm currently battling a cold from going to drive back to a semi-humid environment. And, you know, other than that, it's always been a lot of fun. But Russell and I always like to kind of, hey, how are you? Talk about one of our favorite things that's happened so far this year on Author Talk. And my favorite thing that happens is when it is just the three of us, whether we had our former co-hosts, Fern on or Sandy on or Dina's on, to talk about our times, and we always kind of rabbit hole. And when me and Russell sometimes banter back and forth, like we did a couple episodes ago on TikTok, because you guys know I'm not on TikTok. I am not the biggest fan of TikTok per se. And so me and Russell kind of had a disagreement, a fun little banter back and forth, which I'm grateful for that me and Russell can still be friends after that conversation and have a lot of fun. So that would be probably to year to date my favorite episode that we've had so far. But you guys know, starting Friday, the 12 Days of Page Turners does kick off. 12 days of authors, over 50 authors. On December 12th, all of them will be back to talk about the holiday special that they're offering this holiday season. So I am gearing up for that, which is why I have red lipstick on. So if you're not watching us and you're listening to us, it's a crimson red lipstick, because this year for the 12 Days of Page Turners, the colors are red and silver, which are my favorite colors. So we've dived into that. So I'm getting my red on to prepare so I'm not shell-shocked on Friday evening at 7 p.m. when I decide to bust out in all of my red fun attire for the holiday season. But yeah, see, I don't feel comfortable being on TikTok either. Thank you. I have fans. I didn't get any hate mail for that.
It's your job.
A lot of fun. I know. I do it for others, not for myself. But let's dive into everybody else's weekend. Who wants to go first and tell us all about your weekend, what you had doing, what's happening? Who wants to go?
Russell,
Popcorn. Okay, well, I'll go next. We traveled to Houston for the Thanksgiving week. And I also met with my publisher and that sort of thing. And drove back.
The time is 10:03 a.m.
Sorry.
What?
Sorry.
Okay. So one of my favorite things that happened the whole year during our show was we were interviewing a English author who was living in Wales.
Oh.
Wales at the time. And yeah. Fern, who was on that day with us, referred to her as Welsh, and she freaked out about being called Welsh when she was English. But the best part about that was, during the interview, I made a reference to a Richard III quote from Shakespeare, and the English author's response to me was, well, go on then. Because
I know,
in her English, basically challenging me, she didn't think this hick-sounding interviewer in Atlanta would know the quote. So then I went on to quote Richard III, and she was like, shocked.
I loved it. I think she's the only one that's ever called you out on something like that. The rest of us just kind of go with it. But she, like, called you out. It was
which
great.
Was awesome. And she did it with that English slang. Well, go on then. Which was the part that I loved the most. So that was one of my favorite parts of the show that we had this year. Dina.
I didn't do anything. Well, I mean, like, we ate a bird, right? But
okay.
I didn't have to do the cooking.
Nice.
And I didn't really have to do my sous chef
duties.
Responsibilities. I did a little work. I watched a lot of Bosch. Got completely caught up on Bosch because, you know, I am a Michael Conley super fan. And sitting there and just yelling at the TV. Well, that didn't happen in that book. That was in Mickey Haller's book. So that was mine. I had a nice, relaxing holiday weekend. No work. Well, I mean, like 6 hours of work all weekend. Oh, so
good. I'm glad it was relaxing. I think it should be. The holidays are stressful enough. We should all just be relaxing and enjoying it. So, Mark, what did you do this weekend or holiday time?
I have to ask Dina. Bosch is Bosch Legacy is the new season out, and I haven't seen it yet. Like
the second series is out.
The second series, but the new season since like the last 6 months or whatever. Oh wow, that's awesome! Yay! Yeah. I can't wait to dig into that. I'm Canadian, so we don't celebrate anything other than Black Friday, Cyber Monday on your Thanksgiving weekend. But what I do every single year and have since the beginning of the launch of this movie is I always watch Planes, Trains, and Automobiles because it gets me in the mood for the Thanksgiving spirit and obviously that the holiday kickoff.
Nice. That is a great movie. I watched Elf the other day with my kids.
There's another reason, isn't there, Mark?
What's that?
I think there's another reason you watch that film, isn't there?
Well, I mean, there's self-promotional purposes for one of the books that I have about the trivia for that movie, but that's beside the point. I just push that all year through, but I watch the movie more often during Thanksgiving weekend than the rest of the year.
Nice. I love it. Ada, what about you?
Well, my daughter-in-law is from Ohio, so my son and daughter-in-law went to the Cleveland area to celebrate Thanksgiving, and my wife and I had their two dogs to look after. So their two dogs, my two dogs, and two cats. And basically, I was on backdoor duty, opening the door for the backyard, closing it, opening it, closing it, and middle of the night.
That's real truth.
One of them is a husky, and I don't know if you know anything about dog breeds, but huskies are on their own plane and their own universe, and they don't care what you have in store for them. So it was a real challenge. And then they had trouble getting back. So I've got them for two extra nights now, seven in total instead of five. So that was my weekend.
So it's like a fur giving, well, not a Thanksgiving for you, right?
There you go. That's a good one.
Okay. I have a question. What is Bosch?
Oh my gosh.
Single greatest fictional character ever written by Michael Connelly.
Yeah, a huge series by Michael Connelly. I think I think in the whole Bosch universe, which brings in the Lincoln Lawyer and Renee Ballard, it's like 40 books, I think is what it is like all of them, because they all weave in and out. So, but I've read all of them. I'm completely caught up on everything he's written in the entire Bosch universe. So I was really happy to. Bosch is a series that's on Prime, and it was seven seasons. And then they did a spinoff that's Bosch Legacy. That's so far it's two seasons. So, but it's great. It's like crime drama, police and corruption and big wigs getting what they deserve.
Nice. Okay. Okay. I hadn't heard of it either, Russell. I just wanted to give you a hard time because I didn't want to lecture because Dina and Mark got all like, what? You've never heard of this.
I know. It made me feel good, not bad.
Because it made me scared. I was like, we can't. No, I've totally heard of this. I can't believe Russell has it. I went with it. I'm not even going to lie.
Well, I know.
If you've never seen it, right?
I know. It's like if two people on the show are like, I can't believe you haven't seen it, then that means there's something great out there for me to experience yet. So you're absolutely right, Mark.
Well, I did actually, I mean, I watched all seven seasons again, and then plus the two new ones because I'd been waiting on the legacy. And because I don't like to read a series before all of the books are out or until a significant series is out, because I get into it and then that's all I want to do is just get in that world. I don't want to pop out and then read something else and then pop back in and then I'm confused. So I don't know. I'm kind of strange that way.
I wish I had something like that, like a TV or something like that. I don't. I wish I did. I mean, I guess it would be like American Horror Story, but those are like hit and miss sometimes. So I can't like be a dedicated fan, I guess, to it. All right, you've convinced me. I'll have to try your Bosch. You've convinced me. I'll have to try it.
My Bosch is excellent.
Yeah, it is.
I'm going to watch Reacher next. That's my next one I'm going
to
watch.
It's a great show. It's fun to watch. Say, I need
season
to thank
one was
our,
fantastic. Yeah.
I need to thank our podcast listeners. Most people listen to us during the week, driving to work, doing whatever, working out. And we want to thank them for listening to us. We're top 10 independent book podcast in America. And we very much appreciate it. You can find it because I can find it now, thanks to Amy's magic. Amy, how can people find us on their podcast?
Well, actually, thanks to Dina because she made the graphic for us. But we are anywhere that you can find a podcast, Amazon, Apple, Google Play, Spotify, a ton of other places. I'm sure I'm not listing because it's Monday morning, you guys, and we all struggle on Monday mornings. But just type in Author Talk, look for the crimson, red, and gold logo. And like Russell said, if Russell can find us, literally anybody can find us 100% because Russell was the one that was struggling really hard to find us. So you can go and do that, but join us over on our Facebook page, YouTube channel, all of my social media pages, including Twitter and Instagram. It'll be up there later on this afternoon, but engage with us. We love answering and interacting with you guys in your comments, getting your questions and just engaging with you guys. So make sure that you join us on over there. The running joke is I control what comes out of my mouth, but not my facial expressions. And I am very animated and talk a lot with my hands. So
she has no poker face. You want to play poker against Amy. That's
you will win. That is a true statement. But come on over and join us. But with all of that being said, Dina, let's get Ado talking about his collection of short stories and Mark, who is the publisher of this amazing collection. Take it away, Dina.
Oh, really? I had no idea because someone did not give me access to the information. Thank you very much.
Did you ask for it? I'm sorry. Yes, I'll send it to you. I didn't get anything.
So tell me about him because I don't know.
Just so you know, I'm having trouble hearing Dina. So if she's asking me a direct question, if someone could jump in and help out with it, I'd appreciate it.
Yeah. So can you tell us what all kind of went in to your collection of short stories, which is Death Drives a Semi? Kind of what was the thought process? And tell us a little bit about those stories in there.
Okay. So when I decided I was always going to be a writer. I didn't know what kind of writer I was going to be. And that changed when I read The October Country by Ray Bradbury. Up until then, I was thinking of being a poet or maybe a songwriter. And I wrote really bad poems and really bad songs. So I had, you know, that wasn't going to work out. But I read The October Country and I was blown away by every story in there. Every time I read one of the stories, I got to the end and said, wow, that was fantastic, terrific. I decided that's the kind of storyteller I want to be. I want to write stories that people read, and when they get to the end of it, they'd say, wow, That was terrific. Now, that's a lofty, lofty goal, and one that I realized I needed laser focus to achieve. So from that point on, everything in my life was focused on becoming that writer. And the stories in the book, it was first published in 1998. The stories, there's 20 stories, took about 10 years to write 20 really good stories, and pitched about 25, 26 stories to the publisher at the time, was Quarry Press. They picked the 20, and it includes a Bram Stoker Award winner, Bram Stoker Award finalist, a couple of Arthur Ellis Award nominees, Aurora Award nominees, contest winners, just my very best. And I'm very, very proud of the book and love that it's got a second life. Now, Mark knew the book when it was first published. He was selling it from his bookstores when it first came out. And he was interviewing me on his podcast about the Wolfpack, which I wrote based and is the basis for the Sarah Michelle Gellar television series. And when we finished, he approached me about doing a reissue of Death Drives a Semi. First, I said no. But the more I thought about it, the more I thought, yeah, that'd be really cool. I would like that a lot. So I got back to him and said, let's do that. So we reissued it 25 years later. It's got all kinds of cool features, like sort of before and after author photos, notes, story notes on all of the stories, a bonus story, an introduction by me, a revised introduction by my friend Rob Sawyer. And it's got all the bells and whistles we could think of to put in there. And I appreciate Mark's appreciation for the book and his ability to bring it back to life.
Awesome. So, well, so you touched on Wolfpack.
Yes.
So how did that one come about?
Well, these are long stories. They're worthwhile. I just hope I don't take too much time away from Mark. It came about with me having nothing to do with it. I wrote the first book in 2000, and it came out in 2006. There were three other books in the series. The first book, Wolfpack, it won the Aurora Award. It won the Silver Birch Award. It was a very significant award in Ontario. It's voted on by school-aged children. And it did very well that year as a bestseller for the publisher. But the other three books kind of tanked. When the book was first published, there were two people interested in it. One was had been an associate producer with the Survivor television series. And the other person said they had a developmental contract with Paramount Pictures. Like, wow, this is fantastic. These people really have some juice. And then nothing happened. And it soured my experience with Hollywood so much that I'll get to that in a bit. And the other books were published. They didn't do as well, kind of trailed right off. And by 2010, the books were out of print. Fast forward 11, 12 years, my agent sends me an email saying someone's interested in the TV rights for Wolfpack. And I said, okay, sure. And they made an offer. I signed it. I just thought, well, nothing's going to happen with this, because that's usually what happens when things get optioned. But 8 months later, they sent us a press release for us to okay, which was amazing. And I still didn't believe it. Then I saw the teaser trailer saying that there was a Teen Wolf, the movie, coming out. And Jeff Davis was also going to do Wolfpack, an all new series by Jeff Davis based on the acclaimed books by Ado Van Belkom. And I thought, these guys are crazy. The books have been out of print for 10, 12 years, and there's nothing acclaimed about them. And then another 8 months they were filming, and another 8 months it was on TV. It's like light speed. The reason being, found out later, is that they went to Jeff Davis, gave him the book, said, would you like to do this? We have the rights to it. And he said, okay, I'll do that. And they didn't have the rights to it. So now they had a problem, Hollywood type of problem. They needed to get the rights from me. We didn't know that, because we didn't have any leverage at the time. I just said, yeah, okay. There was a short time where we almost said no thanks, because I can't remember the detail, but they needed the rights to it because they'd already given Jeff and told him that. So I'm not bitter. It's just the way Hollywood works. And, you know, from my position, if I had some leverage, who knows what I would have screwed up. But I'm glad that it's on TV. And, you know, I'm looking forward to season two. They haven't announced it yet. All things point to a season two, in which I'm supposed to have a cameo in, which I'm very excited about that, too. But you asked how that came about, and that's basically how it came about. I had nothing to do with it. I tell people I wrote a good book, and that was the end of my involvement.
Well, for the book, what's the age range?
Well, there's another interesting. That's another interesting one. The books were a family drama written for school-age children from 9 to 13. When I saw the interviews with Jeff Davis before the series came on, he says, "Oh, it's going to be sexier and more violent than Teen Wolf." And I'm going, "Wow, that's nobody dies in my books. They figure out all their problems. They happen to be werewolves, but they figure out their problems without sort of resorting to violence." So I was amazed, and turns out that Jeff wrote a supernatural mystery for adults with sexual intonations and lots of violence. And hey, what do I know about TV? I'm just sitting back watching him do what he wants with it, because every time I meddle in something that I don't know anything about, I screw it up. So I'm just watching. Season one was a success. Hopefully season two, when it gets announced, will be a success, and I'll just be able to bask in the glory. Yeah, it's based on my book. But people have read the book and seen the show, and they're like confused. So it is true. One is for young readers and the other one is for adults.
Okay. Awesome. So, and Mark, your tie into this was, of course, the Death Drives a Semi. And what led you to actually hit him up about republishing it?
Well, Ado has long been a mentor to me as a writer, and when he talks about, you know, having The October Country as one of those seminal books of just fantastic fiction, I was a bookseller at the time. I'm working in a bookstore, and this is the, you know, the 1998 version of Death Drives a Semi. I not only love it, I think it's one of the best short story collections ever. Every single story is phenomenal in it. I loved going to events with Ado, listening to him talk about the books, the stories and stuff like that. And I even learned as an author myself how to do author events, how to do readings with animation and energy, and to keep the audience engaged rather than the, you know, the dry, boring author readings you sometimes see where they go, "Oh, I'm supposed to read out loud." But I loved hand selling this book in the bookstores I was working at. And then I love the Wolfpack books, and obviously the TV series is great in a different way than the books are great. There's some commonalities to it. And when I was talking to Ado's agent about, you know, the book and stuff like that, I was like, what about this other book of his that is one of my favorites of all time? Could we bring it back into print? But could I get Ado to do some behind the scenes stories to give, so that it's not only a book that people can read and just love and enjoy, but I also think it's a book for writers, because they can learn not only how to do suspense, how to do twists, how to do macabre stories, you know, with a wry sense of humor and whatever, but then also learn from that and then learn from the behind the scenes of a world-class writer. So the thought of, you know, this is the original cover, and I got my cover designer to pay homage to it. You know, even securing the you know, the whatever the license for the font that was used on the cover, and then even the author photo that Ado's wife Roberta took, the original, and then they did one 25 years later. I mean, it's just, I'm just so excited that I get to help bring a book back into print that I think more people should read. So it really was a passion project to be able to be even just associated with something as amazing as this. So it's a real honor for me that I get that I finally convinced Ado to take a chance and let's make this book available in hardcover, in trade paperback, and in ebook version
for a whole new generation of readers to delve into. And
Yeah, exactly. And 25 years, right? It was a perfect round number for that.
Yeah.
The only thing that's aged in the book is the author. Everything else is exactly the same.
Now, and Mark, when you go with the author photo that you keep referencing, is it the one that was originally on it? Is that the one where you're in the 18-wheeler in the cab? Yeah, because I noticed it from the Top Shelf interview. Because I saw it in there, I was like, man, I would not believe it's the same.
It was funny when we did the original photo. It was like we went with my wife and we went around to an industrial area in town and, you know, saw this truck service center, and I walked in there and said, it's gonna sound crazy, but can I take a picture in one of your trucks? And they were looking at me and said, okay, just don't let the company name show in the picture. And then okay, so went in there and I felt, you know, like pretty stupid sitting in this truck, you know, trying to look like a cool truck driver and everything. But it was good. The publisher was really impressed by that, put it on the back of the book. And so we redid it, and sort of the same thing. I lost a lot of hair. It's all white, but it's still me.
And you have the Wolfpack hat on the.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. I put that in there too.
Because yeah, we gotta brag about that too.
They sent me two of them from. I'm supposed to be part of the marketing stuff, but there haven't been much marketing. Just one season, right? They did send the hat, and I thought, okay, I'll put the hat on there and kind of cover up the shiny part, and. Yeah, it looked good. People could be convinced I was a truck driver, I guess.
Dina, can I ask a question?
Absolutely.
How has the TV series affected the sales of the book? Or is it not come? Was it not for sale when the series came out?
It's been a boost for sure, but qualitative. First thing is the first book came into print. My agent, we couldn't even find a publisher to do all four books again. I mean, this is a different day and age. You think the TV show, let's do the books. That didn't happen. So we made an arrangement. We got the first book in print. By this time next year, all four books will be in print. There was a sale for audiobooks, and that was very good, to Podium. And then there was a foreign sale to Czechia, formerly Czech Republic, Arab language rights in Arabic. They're going to do all four books, which that blew me away. Also in Romania or Hungary, I forget now, and an Italian version too. So from that perspective, yeah, and people have been buying and reading the books, which kind of always impresses me too, but it's never been that groundswell. Like, you know, it's suddenly a bestseller everywhere you look and it's in every store, nothing like that. It's been subdued, and I'm fine with that. As long as that subdued sales continues on for several seasons. When I first talked to Jeff, I said, how long is it going to last? And he said 8 seasons. And I think, wow, that's a little bit much. But we'll see. Maybe he's got plans for 8 seasons. I'll be happy with just season 2 and see how far this can go.
Do you plan on writing any more books in the series?
Now, that's an interesting question. Yes and no. There's a possibility of doing a prequel series for Podium, which is interested in the audiobooks, print books, and ebooks. So the problem I have is the books are about young adults in high school, and the series is about young adults, supernatural, and doing all those things. Now, the problem is, do I write another book where the big problem in the story is the high school bully or doing their homework on time after people have been exposed? Just hold on. Okay.
Yeah, the joys of when somebody's at work doing an interview in the middle of the day.
Right? Okay, so crisis averted. Right. Now, so do I write another mundane story about people with homework problems and who's school bully and the high school romance, or do I do it a lot? With the supernatural element, I can't do that. So there's this 16-year gap in the book, first book, because the forest ranger discovers the cubs in the forest. And then instead of figuring out how a forest ranger can adopt four children all the same age that came seemingly out of nowhere with no birth mother and no history of a birth or anything like that. So I just said 16 years later. Well, if we're going to do anything, we're going to fill in those 16 years with, let's see how they get adopted. How do you get a birth certificate? How do you they adopt them? How do you raise them? How do you bring them to the doctor when maybe they need to go to a vet? I don't know. So that's the thing that's being proposed right now. And we'll see how that goes and what it is.
The real life problems of
every baby. Yes, every story I've ever written has always been set in the present day with one thing that's set in the supernatural. And the challenge is always, how does that supernatural thing fit in the real world? So, yeah, like how does somebody account for the birth of four totally different, four fraternal twins that were all born at the same time? There was no record of their birth. There was nobody walking around that was pregnant or, you know, and how do you not get provincial agencies involved to, you know, adopt these children out? Or how does all that? I don't know. And I'm kind of terrified to figure that out and put it into print. But that'll be one of the main stories that will have to be tackled.
And you kind of wonder what your Google history is going to look like and what kind of red flags that's going to trigger.
I've searched for worse things than that, I guarantee you. So I'm not too worried about that part.
I think we all have.
I'd love to read the Wolf Cub series.
Oh, so you already have a name for it, don't you, Mark?
Well, I don't know what it'd be called. Wolf Pack, the prequels, I don't know, the series. I don't know what it'd be called. Let's want baby steps, right? I know the first line, the wife is going to look at the ranger and say, well, what do we do now? Something like that. Well, you'd have to read the prologue to know that the way the prologue ends. It's like that's exactly where it's going to pick up. As soon as the prologue ends, it'll pick up there. But we'll see how it happens. I'm kind of not looking forward to it, but it's certainly going to be a challenge.
Wolf tracks. There you go.
Well, my thought was I'd call it Wolf Tales, either T-A-I-L-S or T-A-L-E-S, and it would be the fifth book, and it would be comprised of a bunch of stories that fill in a bunch of gaps. But we'll see. There's agents and editors involved now. We'll see how that goes.
So does that mean it's going? You have a committee giving you advice on what your should say?
No, well, it's funny you talk about committee. I don't know. I know Mark doesn't work that way, but somebody was pointing out that booksellers work by algorithms and statistics and not by gut instincts. Now, Mark is reprinting this book because he loves the book and he wants to make it happen. But booksellers these days are looking at demographics, who's it's going to appeal to, who bought the books previously. Why would they want to buy this book? How many pages it should have, you know, what the cover and all of those things. And I don't know, they're going to do their thing and we'll see what they come back with. But when I wanted to do the first Wolfpack series, it was about, let's do this thing about four teenage werewolves who have all the problems of high school children, bullies, homework, romance, pimples, everything like that. Plus they're werewolves. So they've got that as well, as well as all those other things. And I don't know if you could sell that anymore because somebody wants something salacious or fantastic or supernatural or violent, bloody, gory, anything like that. But I set about writing for young adults. all recognizable problems, plus the werewolves.
Well, and Mark, you've got a werewolf tie-in.
I have an adult series Canadian werewolf in
New
York.
But they're not in any way really. No,
but that being said, Ado is an author who has inspired me most of my adult life, and so yeah, of course I read, you know, some of the stuff that he's written and said, well, hey, what would happen if, following the same principle that Ado talked about, set it in modern times, real world, with one aspect that's supernatural. So I continually learn so much from this master.
Well, the thing about that is they could be tied in if I gave Mark permission to use one of my characters and have them appear in his book. But it's interesting you talk about those tie-ins. The Wolf, Teen Wolf fans, they were rabid and they were crazy that the film was coming out. And then the Wolfpack series came out and they're all talking about, oh, I can't wait to see this character from Teen Wolf being on Wolfpack. And like Jeff Davis just said, it's never going to happen. First of all, they're two separate universes. And then there's the money involved. One is owned by MGM and the other, MGM and Much Music. Paramount owns the other one. And the reason they went to find a Wolfpack series to do is because they didn't have the rights clear, free and clear for the Teen Wolf series. So let's make something similar that we can call our own. And you're never going to find any character. I mean, it would be great for the series to have Tyler Posey, the Teen Wolf, come up and make an appearance in the Wolfpack. Sure, or surefire ratings hit. It's never going to happen. It's like, you know, pick your favorite vampire, and why didn't he appear there with Dracula in the Dracula book? Well, they're two different universes. They don't coexist. Each one is separate. So, but if Mark wanted to use one of my characters and have him show up, say the Ranger, on a pass by on one of his characters walking down New York City, a street in New York City, you're welcome to do that, Mark.
Oh my God. You know what? Since I have an ongoing series and it's not going to end anytime soon, I've got to incorporate some sort of cameo so that readers go, oh wait, that's the character from Ado's books.
Sure. We can do that.
It's like an Easter egg. It's not like they have to come in and be a full character. What Ado was saying about, you know, the vampires, that's like taking Lestat from Anne Rice and dropping them in with the Cullens from, what is her name? Stephanie. Yeah, the Twilight.
Meyer Griffith.
Meyer, yeah.
Yeah. So, and I read both, don't get me wrong. So, but, you know, two completely different feel,
and
not necessarily the universe, but just the feeling of the characters. So yeah.
And I will say, in my book, there are no alphas. There's no alpha wolf. They're a pack, and they're stronger together when they're all together, and each of them has an ability that the others don't. No one is in charge. Everything is by committee, and they do things together. So right there, it's like a different kind of outlook. And also, my werewolves don't change with rage or the moon or anything like that. They can do it at will, which is another thing that is different. In fact, they're found out when they're practicing their shape-shifting in the forest in the first book, in chapter one, and that leads to the complications. But so there's lots of different things, and it's never going to happen, but fans are fans, and I don't have a problem with them wanting it to happen, but it's just not going to.
And speaking as a fan, when you develop that emotional connection with that universe, you don't want something to come in and rock the boat, like, you know. So
yeah, I think Wolfpack is up against it. You know, there was the Teen Wolf movie, which if it had been more successful, there might be two others. That's what the contract was for. But I know the, you know, oh, Teen Wolf fans were on the fence. Either they're going to hate it because it's not Teen Wolf. They're going to hope to like it and hope it's like Teen Wolf. Or maybe they have an open viewpoint. But, you know, no matter how it was done or how well or how poorly or anything like that, you're going to lose a bunch of fans because it's not the same as what they loved. Hopefully they stuck with it long enough to get through it. But that's, you know, the danger. And
Well, and then there's readers and fans, you know, like me, that I'll read something 20 years after it's out and then I delve into it. So there's, as long as it's still accessible, you still got a chance of hooking some new readers and new fans, right, and super fans at that.
The fans are rabid. I don't know how many of them are readers. I'm slowly discovering that many of them are, but even if it's 1/10, you know, we're doing pretty good, but I don't think it's even that good. But because there are millions and millions. I mean, if it was 1/10, we'd be doing 100,000 copies, which that didn't happen. But, well, you know, I'm grateful.
Just read from libraries. So never that forget is true. Your library.
The book was available, you know, for sale to libraries and everything like that. But we're talking numbers. I'm grateful to Jeff Davis and everyone that took a chance on it and, you know, decided to do it. So I can't, if anything that I say comes across as being a complaint, you know, cast me down, because there are no complaints whatsoever. I'm thrilled. I'm proud to say Jeff Davis has become a friend of mine, even though I've not talked to him more than 5 minutes at a time ever. But I'm just grateful for the whole thing, the whole experience. As I've said, it's the most fun I've had as a writer in 18 months span. When this book was in the series was announced, up until this point, most fun I've ever had.
Well, that's a fantastic selling point of it anyway, for anyone else looking to branch off that way with one of their series.
Well, I in context, I tell people, imagine if you could just say to your wife, how would you like to come to Los Angeles with me and walk the red carpet? I mean, that's a lifetime moment. That I couldn't believe that I was able to do that, but we did. We went for the premiere, and we were treated like a big shot with some, you know, some limitations, but it was a great experience. And that's why I'm saying it's the most fun I've had as a writer ever. So,
well, that's fantastic.
See, I love your story. Well, I love your story, Ado, because I think that it's what every writer aspires to happen, right? And nothing that you said comes across as a complaint. You are incredibly humbled and grateful for all the success that you've had. And so I think that...
Absolutely. You kind of... well, it's...
Go ahead.
Yeah, I thought that he was really coming across as very
locking up. I'm
very humble and grateful and completely unexpected. It's not like something you went out peddling yourself.
Yeah.
Wasn't something you were Can looking for.
You guys
for
hear me?
That. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I forgot the question.
No, it's okay. I was just saying that what has happened to you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. If this had happened to me 16 years ago, I'd still be writing actively. And yeah, everybody aspires for this to happen to them in their lifetime. But when I could take it more advantage of it, you know, I'm in my 60s now. If it had happened 15 years ago, I'd be raring to go. And there would have been, you know, 12 books in the Wolfpack series by now. But, again, no regrets, no complaints. I'm just happy to be part of it.
Yeah, I think, you know, that, and, you know, it seems to have happened at the right, like, time, even though it was later in your writing career. But I think it's one of those things that it just gives new writers and just writers hope that, you know, in the next 20 years, anything can happen, right? So I think that that's a beautiful thing and an amazing thing. And I'm excited and just impressed by all the success that you have. And it couldn't have gone to a better person, individual, and writer. So I'm incredibly grateful that you joined us today on Author Talk. We got to talk with you. So we'll do closing comments, statements, questions. Russell, you.
So my closing question is to both guests. If they could tell the listeners how to find their books.
Okay, if I can go first, you type my name, Ado Van Belkom, into a Google search, it'll take you to all the places that sell fine books. I'd also suggest Facebook forum. I'm on Instagram, also on TikTok. Haven't figured that out quite clearly yet. But I also encourage, check out YouTube. I got a channel there with all kinds of goofy videos from when I was an on-air horror movie host. I've got a series called Wolfpack Facts, which relates directly to the Wolfpack TV series. And there's about five installments of that. Hopefully we'll do more this second season. And you can also go to the Stark Publishing website and find my book there. Off to you, Mark.
Yeah, starkpublishing.ca. You can find links to Death Drives a Semi. But I would encourage readers to ask for Ado's books at their local library. They're available. The Wolfpack books, several of his other books are still available to get. And you can find anything you want to know about me at marklesley.ca with links to books and social media, etc.
And I am a big fan of libraries. Everything I've read for 2023 has been from the library. So that was my goal for this year.
She has. Dina, what about you? Any questions, comments, statements before we close it out?
Nope, I'm already finished.
Well, then that's it. Dina has rung the bell. No, you guys, this has been a fantastic conversation. You guys are welcome back anytime. It's always so much fun to get to meet new writers and hear about the success and journey that they've been on and to be a part of. But we hope you all had a fantastic Thanksgiving, a great Monday, and a great rest of your week.
Take care. Thanks for having me.
Yes, and we'll catch you all next Monday. Bye for now, everybody.